Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
So one of the things that we talk a lot about are dogs. 203-333-9422 is our number. This is an opportunity for you with our next guest, Jamie Kelsey, to speak of one of the leading dog trainers in the state. She is, in fact, the lead dog trainer and head of the entire dog training department at Dog on Smart, which is a big facility located in Norwalk, where Shayna is actually right now as we speak, frolicking with her pals. But I saw this week, and it brought home to me, that in this transition time, our furry creatures, many of whom have been adopted during this last year of COVID, know nothing other than having a full family of love and activity and support around them. They, perhaps more than anyone else, are going to be the most devastated when we have to go back to our routines and leave our homes and go to our workplaces. Jamie Kelsey is here with us right now to talk about how we can ease that transition for our dogs, what kind of signs of stress we should notice, and how to handle all of this. Jamie Kelsey, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Hi.
Good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show. So, Jamie, I know you read that piece. I read that piece. Tell us a little bit in your experience from COVID. Is this just anecdotal, or are you really seeing that more and more families in our area did adopt puppies this last year?
We are really seeing that. We are busier than ever, and a lot of families have adopted pets to provide comfort during this past year, and that's wonderful, and the shelters were cleared, and now what we're seeing is as we resume some normalcy, a lot of these, you know, pandemic puppies are now in their adolescence, which is a transition period as well, and going back to work and leaving their side is causing some behavioral concerns. So we absolutely are seeing that, an influx every day of calls and concerns, and we're really looking forward to help people through this transition.
So Jamie, give us an example when you're getting these calls in. Give me some examples of some of the complaints that people are having in terms of changes of behavior of their own dogs.
So what we're seeing is some destructive behavior now that, you know, the humans are leaving. They're coming home and they're finding things chewed up. They're finding some accidents where there hasn't been any. You know, dogs are panting and stressed and pacing, you know, with signs that you're leaving and coming back. And so we really have to manage this transition and lead by example with our human emotions to set our dogs up for success and calm.
So when you say lead by success with human emotions, when we're saying goodbye to our dog in the morning, what's the best routine and structure to set them up so that they can have as pleasant an experience without us as possible?
Yeah, this is really hard for humans to do, but it is so important. You want to be non-emotional. First of all, my rule is no guilt. There is no guilt. We are providing our dogs with a loving family, a loving home, so there is no guilt that you have to leave and get to your job. So no guilt. You know, just this is how it has to be. When you leave your dog, make sure they have a safe spot to go to and be very non-emotional. You know, not, oh, I love you, oh, I have to go to work, here's a million toys, I love you. Because what you're doing is marking that separation and you're letting the dog know that you're emotional about it. So what you want to do is just walk out very quietly, very calmly. Matter of fact, I say your dog shouldn't know if you're going to the mailbox or the movies. You're just leaving, and that's okay. Whether or not they need to be in a crate is another, you know, factor. But not only leaving calmly, but returning calmly. If you return from work, and the minute you walk through the door, you start the party, the dog is going to be very stressed waiting for you to walk through the door, and that can lead to some behavior. So every car door they hear, every noise they hear, is that mom, is that dad, oh my gosh. And then you walk in and love and kisses and all that starts immediately. So as well as non-emotional when you leave, non-emotional when you return. Make the transitions very calm, very seamless. Walk in, take your jacket off. You know, don't get right to your dog because then you're making it an easier transition for them and they'll be more calm upon your return.
Interesting.
Another thing to do is it's really important to start practicing this now before you resume your work schedule, your normal schedule of getting the kids to activities and the dog can no longer be with you all the time. Incremental separations. Go for a walk each day without your dog. Start doing little things to ready them for larger, you know, separation periods. Little incremental separations are really important. Don't wait till your first day back in the office. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour. Start practicing these separations now.
That's really interesting. Okay, so I'm thinking about the return. So when I come into the house, well, let me back up a little bit, Jamie. I have a question for you. The way that we trained Shayna to be separated from us when we left the house had a lot to do with her house training, you know, with pee-pees and accidents. So we kept her in a pretty large kitchen, you know, the size of my kitchen, and we kept the entrances locked up and gated around it, and that's where she was. Now that she is much better house trained, do we still, when we leave, want to have the same routine of this is her confined space, or do I want to let her have the run of the whole house?
That's a very good question, and it depends. What you don't want to do is have a space that is only designated for when you leave, because what that space means is I'm being left alone. So depending on the reliability of the house training, if she still needs to be in that kitchen when you leave, then she should not only be in that kitchen when you leave. You should make it a point to put her in there when you're on a call. Put her in there while you take a shower.
Right.
Okay, great. Because what many clients do is they put their dogs in those areas, in the crates, only when I leave, my dog goes in there.
Oh.
And what happens is the dog knows this space, when you put me in here, it means you're leaving. And that creates anxiety. So whatever space you need to leave them in when you leave so that they are safe, you should also put them in incrementally throughout the day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So it's not only a space that defines separation.
Okay. And then how do you answer the other question, which is it too big an area to let your dog roam the whole house, or does it make them feel more secure to have some boundaries when you're gone?
Well, the dog will let you know how much freedom they've earned. If you come home, if you want to try leaving your dog in a bigger space, you want to gradually increase the size of their den. And the reason small spaces work for house training is because dogs don't like to eliminate in their den. So we start with a very cozy den, and then we gradually make it bigger. If you gradually make it bigger and the dog is successful and there's no accidents, that's great. Your dog has earned more freedom. If you say, you know what, I'm going to try the kitchen and the living room, and you come back and there's an accident in the living room, you know you've given too much freedom. So if you gradually increase that space so the rules of the den spill into a larger area, your dog will feel comfortable within those boundaries. So your dog's success is going to let you know how much freedom they've earned.
Okay. Okay. So either way, if I do it, I'm not hurting the dog by keeping the dog in a confined but rather large space when I'm gone.
And that's for housebreaking, but it is important that the dog have a designated area, a bed, a spot where they feel safe and they know what's expected of them. So that's a great, you want to make sure they have access to that when you're not home, because that makes them feel very cozy and safe, and they know, you know, where to go and where to put themselves, and they can stay calm, whether it be a bed or a mat or a rug or just, you know, that area, gated off area. You know, they know what's expected there, and they'll be much calmer than, you know, being in a new area that they're unfamiliar with.
We're chatting with Jamie Kelsey of Doggone Smart at 203-333-9422. If you would like to call, we can take a question or two about dog training if you have one. We're talking about coming out of COVID and coming into a situation where people are going to be leaving their homes for longer. What about these, what if you do have these stressful indicators, the chewing of furniture, the eliminating in places where they had been trained, but you really can't do anything about the fact that you have to go back to the office? What do we do about these dogs that are feeling alone and stressed out?
Right, and that's a good question. I always say we want to get to the cause of the behavior, not just focus on the correction. What is the cause? Why is my dog having, you know, these behaviors? What is causing it? You want to make sure you have a plan. Dogs are creatures of routine, and whenever that routine changes, it can cause them some anxiety and some stress. So create your new routine. As soon as you know what your new normal is going to look like, create a routine. You know, make sure it's consistent. Exercise. Make sure you take the dog for a walk, get them good exercise, have a reliable facility like Doggone Smart, like you do for Shayna, which is a place, which is a home away from home where you know you can take your dog to be supervised and exercise and get that energy and that attention, you know, if you can't be home. And how much time can you leave your dog at home? It really depends. It depends on how old your dog is. It depends on, you know, how house trained they are and how comfortable they are. For house training, we say, you know, an hour per month of age when they're puppies. So puppies really can't be home for a long stretch. But older dogs, you know, you can leave them for a few hours and you can find a trusted dog walker to come let them out or come home on your lunch break. But what the key is the cause. And if you're seeing destructive behavior, they are having a lot of anxiety when you're not home. This is new for them. So you really want to kind of chip away on changing their routine. When you're home with them, try to make it that they're not the center of your world and give them all the attention. And I know that's really hard, but if they're the center of your world and you're constantly giving them attention and kisses and hugs and treats and they have your full attention when you're home, and when you leave, that goes away, that can create some anxiety. So try and ignore them a little bit more at home. Try and give them some more training, some more commands, some more order. And that will make them feel that you are okay with this transition and that they can be okay with it. So you really want to lead with leadership, structure, good training, non-emotional, let them know, yes, things are changing, but I'm okay with it. You're safe. You're okay. You can make sure to leave them with some good toys, some good chew toys. We call them occupiers, some safe things that they can chew on and keep them busy. Some clients even set up video cameras to kind of see, is my dog really being destructive, or is it just happening before I come home? You want to see, when is that destruction happening? Is it when you leave, when you come home? So you can really get an idea of what their mindset is when you're not there.
We're chatting with Jamie Kelsey of Dog on Smart. What are the occupiers? What are these occupier toys? What kind of categories do they come in?
Well, there's you really never want to leave your dog with something new when you're not home, as far as choking hazards and, you know, things like that. But if you go to your trusted pet store, you can get, you know, like these Kong, these tough chewers. You can even fill it with, you know, peanut butter or something, you know, but that's not allergies. And put in the freezer and just give them something to keep them busy and keep them occupied to focus on. When you're not there and if a dog's very attached to you, you know, you want to give them something to occupy them, keep them busy. And, you know, they even have those treat, the electronic treat things that dispense those, you know, treats while you're not there. But really getting to the cause and creating a more harmonious balance of your dog mindset between you leaving and not being there is the best thing to do. But if you go to your trusted pet store and ask for a sturdy toy, there are things like bully sticks, but we don't recommend leaving them if you're not home. Anything you leave with your dog, you want to make sure you have observed them interacting with while you're home and it's safe. You don't want to give them a new toy for the first time and leave. You always want to make sure it's a toy they interact with safely.
You know, we know that dogs are very, we're chatting with Jamie Kelsey of Dog on Smart. We know that dogs are very social animals. And puppies are very, I mean, in order to mature as a healthy, well-adjusted dog, they need to be around other dogs,
yes.
Other people. So,
yes.
I mean, should puppies ever, I mean, I guess what I'm hearing from you is puppies should never be left alone for an extended duration of 2 to 4 to 5 hours. It's not healthy for them.
Well, I mean, it depends. Listen, you have to be realistic with your lifestyle. When we have a puppy, that's something different than what we're talking about now, the adolescents and the older dogs, you know, getting used to a transition. But so the socialization, it's really interesting because this past year we've been keeping away. We see someone on the street and we keep away. We play keep away. We have to stay 6 feet. And so our dogs are feeding off of that, and that could have created some fear of other people, and now we're welcoming people into our yards, into our driveways, into our homes, and so we have to understand that may take some time for our dogs. For puppies, socialization is key. We say sight, sound, surfaces, smells, strangers, and, you know, we want to make sure they don't startle, and so they have that imprint period when they're very young, so everything they're exposed to, we want to make sure it's positive so it leaves a positive imprint. And some of these puppies and dogs that we're seeing now may not have gotten all that because we've been secluded. We've been in our homes, and now the world is opening up. So be patient with your dog. Understand it may take some time. You may see some behaviors, you know, but if you address them and start having positive socialization, now safe socialization, please don't go to a dog park and just say, I'm going to socialize my dog here, because at the dog parks, no one's checking vaccines, no one's checking behavior. We want to make sure our dog is sturdy enough to handle a potentially negative incident before we bring him to an uncontrolled environment. So it's not too late to catch up on that socialization with, you know, trusted trainer or a facility that can give your dog that safe, supervised socialization so that they can, you know, better deal with this transition and be more welcoming of their environment.
All right, Jamie Kelsey, Dog on Smart. My takeaway is that when I leave my dog, I'm supposed to be nonchalant, make sure there's food and water and whatever, and just say goodbye. And when I say hello, I'm supposed to be, hey, Shayna, and that's about it, not make a whole big deal. And I don't think I do, but maybe I do. I don't know.
But that is so important, and it is so hard. But dogs, they pick up on the littlest thing. If you take a deep breath before you leave, or if you grab your keys, you know, they know
really?
Those signals as to which.
You
know, they pick up on the littlest thing. So they're following your emotions. So keep that in mind. You are modeling to your dog what is safe, what is okay, what is secure, and what is worrisome. So the more calm you can be when you leave, when you come with a transition, the dog is going to take their cue from you. You know, and I say that too. If you see a dog who's nervous and you pet them, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You're saying good fear, good fear. Like, you're fine, this is fine, we're good, everything's safe. And so they can calm down a little bit and take your lead and feel safe that you've got it covered. So, when I come home, my son says, Mom, you didn't say hi to the dog. I said, I know, but that's what's best for her so that she's not so anxious when I come and when I go. So easy, calm transitions, it's what's best.
Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Kelsey of Dog on Smart on the Lisa Wexler Show today. Really appreciate it. And if you're
my pleasure.
Are you there at Dog on Smart right now?
I am on my way. Yeah,
all right,
I will be there after this. I couldn't have barking in the background, so I had to go to a quiet place.
No, that's fine. But I mean, you'll see Shayna before I do. So just check in on her, give her a big kiss for me.
I will. She's right. The mayor of the group.
I heard that. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jamie.
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Okay. Bye, honey. All right. Bye-bye. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.